a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Everybody, happy Monday night. What's going on? I hope you're having a fantastic evening. It's your boy Chef Plum. We're coming at you live here with episode 27, season 4 of Plum Love Foods Live. That's right, guys. Super excited to be here tonight. Having a great time. We have a fantastic guest tonight. We're talking all about digital media in the food spectrum. How about that? It's crazy because there's so much stuff changing these days. And so much change in the food business these days. So it's going to be fun to talk to her about that and see what's going on. Because she is the digital editor for Edible Long Island and Edible East End, two very, very important magazines in the food spectrum. So we're having that conversation tonight, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll play What Did You Learn? We got a fantastic news story coming off the block. Should be awesome. Looking forward to having that conversation. Megan's very, very fun too, so I hope you guys will enjoy that conversation for sure. Meanwhile, back here at the homestead, well, we're preparing for Snowmageddon, and I tell you what, I guess I'm a little bit surprised that we're getting more snow. To be completely honest with you, we have been dealing with weather around here that just seems absolutely insane. We've had fantastic weather. It's been 6 degrees. We've really, really enjoyed some of the weather we've gotten. It's been beautiful outside, and now we're struck with getting hit again with more bad weather. Are you kidding me? 20 inches of snow is what they're saying is going to happen tonight, man. I can't believe it. So thankfully, I got all my stuff done. We had a shoot tomorrow. We're going to do a shoot yesterday about tomorrow for the brand new segment that we've got coming out here locally on WTNH. Restaurant road trip, but that's gonna be put on hold. I'll let you guys know where that's gonna be at the end of the show tonight. I'll tell you where we're gonna be on Thursday for that shoot, so you can come check it out. It's gonna be fun. The other problem I have right now is I don't have any beer, so I cracked open a bottle of Jack Daniel's Winter Jack to go along with the snow that we're gonna have. It's Tennessee cider. It's great. It's not super high in alcohol. It's delicious. So having that on ice, here's to you. Yeah, just delicious. Just delicious. Anyway, here on a Monday night, happy to be back. Had to take a week off last week because of scheduling issues and sick children, to be honest with you. But we're back this week, and we'll be moving forward constantly here with this very program, which I'm excited about. I love doing this program, so I'm excited to be back here doing it. Got to do a segment today that's going to air this week about food trends, talking about all the wacky food trends we have going on right now, whether it's from sea vegetables to probiotic tea, to putting everything in a bowl. There's so many food trends that are gonna be kicking up and keeping track of everybody around 2017 this year. And I heard about another one that I wanna bring up to a buddy of mine. We have a surprise guest calling in tonight, you guys. How about that? A surprise. One of our good buddies is gonna join us here, a friend of the show, and all around positive gentleman. Just a good guy. And I tell you what, if there's one thing in my life I want to surround myself with, it's with just people who, in general, are good people. Right now, I've got that right here. The one and only Chef Scatori is Mr. Kevin Levine. Chef, how are you tonight, brother?
I'm doing absolutely amazing. How are you doing, Chef?
Dude, I'm good, man. It's been a long-ass day. I was in the city working. I was talking about on Station Head. App that people don't know a whole lot about yet, but I was on Station Head talking about the top three reasons why Chef Plum should not own a battle axe. But I got through that. And
I was listening to that one. That
yeah. And now here having a drink and talking to you, bro, and appreciate the fantastic cutting board that I have from Hot Blocks, man. These things are unbelievable. I'm really digging them. Looking great on TV and looking great in the edible segments.
Thank you.
And speaking of that,
we got some exciting.
You got some.
We got some exciting stuff going on.
You do, man, and it's crazy because I saw the post today, and you can talk about it better than I can. Tell them about it. What you got going on over there?
Absolutely. So we've been open now a year and 5 months, and everybody's saying, "Oh, when are you going to do an economy board? When are you going to do a cheaper board? When are you going to do a board that I can afford?" Well, you've been listening, and today we made our first post, and we came out with the same quality, the same passionate made cutting board as all the other ones for low cost of $49.
That's crazy talking.
It's a home use cutting board, 10 by 14. So there's a lot of cooks out there, a lot of chefs out there that might live in flats in the city, and they don't have a big space to cook, but yet they do cook.
Yeah.
So we came up with this smaller board, same passionate board, same quality, $49. It's yours.
Bro, that's a great price for that. And honestly, like, I'm not trying to make like some infomercial here. Like, I'm a big supporter and fan of these boards, and you know that. And, you know, that size, you're talking about 10 by 14, right? That's what it was?
10 by 14 by 1.5 inch thick.
Dude, that's a great cutting board, even for a house. Like, that's probably the size I use when I'm making dinner here for the family and stuff. I don't use a giant cutting board, you know? That's like the perfect size.
Oh, perfect size. Perfect size. And the great thing also, for $10 more, so we're now talking $59, I can put any logo on there you want. So not only
wow,
are
how about
you getting
that?
A killer board, but for $10 more, I'll put your personal logo on that.
Man, and that's these are great boards too, which is a crazy talk. I'm not trying to keep pushing it and sound like we're selling something, but the only reason I'm doing it, you guys, is because it's a high quality board. Like, there's people in this world who want to be great cooks, and it's tough if you don't have the right tools or good quality stuff, man. And this is your chance to get an amazing quality cutting board at a price that's just, it's unheard of. Like, no one can beat this price. Booze, none of these guys, they can beat a price like that. And I highly recommend these guys.
It's funny because, you know, like we were all saying, you know, tools of this trade of our, of what we do are not cheap.
No.
You know, some people buy $500 knives, $400 knives, $300 knives.
Right.
And that's like, you know what? That's fine and dandy. But to us at Hoplocks, if you are using a $100 knife, a $200 knife, you want it to be on a good surface. You don't want to eat up your blade. You don't want to have to sharpen your blade every 2 minutes of using a crappy cutting board.
Yeah,
you know,
good call.
These boards, same quality as the larger ones. We're giving the same guarantee, lifetime guarantee. They will not crack. They will not bow. You take care of them, you can pass them down to generation to generation.
Man, for that price, that's unbelievable. I mean, honestly, that's what a great deal on that, man. So make sure, how can we find that? So if I want to grab one of these boards, where do I go?
Go to Hoplocks. If you're on Instagram, go to Hoplocks. DM me. To be honest, best way right now, just text message me. Call me, 843-424-5335. You can go to Chef Scatori's on Instagram. Kevin Levine on Facebook. Even if you want to reach out to Scatori's Pizzeria on Facebook or Kevin Levine on Facebook, Hoplocks on Facebook. I mean, any way you can get a hold of me. I mean, I got my phone on me 24/7.
I mean, these are great boards and a great price for them, man. I highly recommend you guys check those out, dude. That's a great deal, man. Seriously, and I'm happy for you doing that. Cause I think that. You know, a lot of cooks and stuff, you know, we talked about this before, you and I, like, a lot of these guys, they don't make a lot of money, man. They're just trying to make their way up and have an opportunity to get a really nice piece of equipment for that price. I mean, you need to jump on it while you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's also available, just to let everybody know, that's also available in maple and cherry. So those are my top two picks, American cherry and maple. Those are, to me.
And if you act now. If you act now, Chef Kevin and myself will we'll do an infomercial for you as well. for 5 minutes and talk about how to sell a cutting board. I just realized that's what we're doing. So far, we've just been talking about selling cutting boards.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, if you act now.
If you act now, the first three boards sold, if you tell me plum, I will throw in a Hoplox chef spoon made by Adam Chef Spoons.
Wow. Wow. Hey, he's going to be on next week, as a matter of fact.
Dude, he is an awesome dude, man. He really is. His spoons are absolutely amazing. But I'm serious.
That's
the first
cool.
three people that contact me and say plum, I'll throw in a free Hoplox chef spoon.
There you go, right there. You get yourself a chef spoon out of that deal, too. So that sounds like a fantastic way to get yourself a great board. Oh, but wait.
There's more. Act now.
You're serious.
And Chef Plum will personally say hi to you.
Of course, I will personally say hi to you. I'll say hi to anybody. What is that shit? Come on, what the hell does that mean? What are you talking about? Hey, look, man. I did this segment today talking about food trends, man. I want to ask you about something. I saw something in my research that really struck me as quite interesting, man. I want to run it by you. I thought you might have an opinion on this.
Yeah.
So they say, so we all know that turmeric, right? The seasoning turmeric, Indian cuisine.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy antioxidant, a lot of health benefits to turmeric. A lot of studies have been done on it recently. So they're saying in 2017, we're going to see something, we're going to have an option for something called golden milk or a turmeric latte. So what's going to happen is you're going to have milk that's been infused with turmeric. And you'll have the choice of, you know, basically what kind of milks you want, you know, 2% whole milk, skim milk, or gold milk. And the gold milk is a turmeric infused milk, which is going to be used in a lot of coffee drinks. Starbucks is probably going to roll it out within, by, you know, the next 3 or 4 months or so. What do you think,
dude,
man? Because turmeric's funny. To me,
that is,
it doesn't have a lot of flavor, but it's still one of those things that's pretty cool.
That's the craziest thing you just said, that because Scutori's is next to a Lowe's Foods. They're based out of North Carolina. It's a privately owned grocery store. And they actually have, in their produce section, turmeric-infused water.
No way.
Yeah, dude, for real. And that is so crazy that, and this was not planned. Like, this conversation was not planned at all. I did not know that turmeric milks were going to be the thing of 2017. They have turmeric water, turmeric infused water, healthy water in their produce section.
Which, again, I mean, I don't want to keep talking more about stuff like about healthy water, but like, water's great for you to begin with. I just, what I'm curious what your thoughts are, man, is you find, are we getting too crazy with this? Are we just thinking that we're putting this stuff, I mean, we see this is great and it's healthy and super good for you, so let's put it in milk. So people who spend $9 on lattes can now spend 12, but feel good about themselves or getting the health benefits of turmeric. And actually, the story that's going to be off the block tonight, brought to you by Hoplox Cutting Boards, is dealing a lot with that and how people have this weird feeling of just feeling good when they buy organic. But do you think we're taking it too far? Like, I mean, do you think turmeric can affect the taste of milk at all?
I definitely think it'll affect the taste of the taste, definitely, because turmeric has that distinctive flavor. But
it's very, very subtle, though.
No, it is subtle. But you know what? And it's not always about me, but it's funny how we always put things into perspective in our lives. The past 2.5 weeks, I've been on this health kick. And I've gone carb free, and I also quit drinking Red Bull. And I noticed that I'm actually spending a little more money out there to eat healthy, but I feel absolutely amazing. I mean, I think it is very important for us to eat healthy. And if it means us spending $2 more, but on the flip side, if you're going to Starbucks and buying a latte with whole milk and you're adding all the sugars and everything, why are you adding too much? So, I mean, I don't know. It's a catch-22. You know what I mean? I think.
Hey, you know why they call it? Do you know why Starbucks calls it a latte?
What is that?
Because it costs a latte money. Oh, zing!
Oh.
Hey, look here. Check him out, my man, Chef Scutori's. You can find him at Kevin Levine on Instagram and, of course, at Hoplox on Instagram. Hey, he's got a great deal on those cutting boards right now. I'm telling you what, you get a nice 10 by 14 cutting board, $49, right, Chef? That's insane.
$49.
$49 will get you a beautiful, high-quality, professional cutting board. And I tell you, there's a lot of options here. There's a lot of things that you can do to personalize it, make it your own. But I tell you what, this is a great deal, man, and I think people should definitely jump on it. And look here, next time I see you, because you and I still haven't met in person, but I'm going to buy you a golden milk latte, sir. I'm going to buy one for you.
And you're going to spend a latte money on it.
Ah, bazing. You'll be here all week, folks. Hey, man, always awesome. Always awesome catching up with you. You got an open door here. You know that, brother. And I'll talk with you on down the road, all right?
Sounds good. I look forward to the rest of the show.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay, sounds good. All right, Chef.
See you, buddy. All right, hey, there he goes. Friend of the show, the one and only Chef Scatore, my man, Kevin Levine. What a great guy, great chef, good friend of mine, and he makes amazing cutting boards. Crazy deal. I wanted to come on and like, talk about those boards because they're really, really a good freaking deal, man. I mean, honestly, when he told me what he was doing, I was like, wow, seriously, dude, that's a great, great deal. I hope people take advantage of that and check it out. Anyway, in the meantime, in the between time, I see our guest for the evening is in the green room right now hanging out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a jam. And then we're going to come back. We're going to be back here talking to our friend Megan Harlow. She is the digital editor for Edible East End, Edible Long Island, one of the biggest food magazines that you can find. And we're going to see exactly what she thinks about how the digital world is changing the food business. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. My name is Chef Plum. I am having myself a cocktail. I'm about to pour another one right now. But in the meantime, check us out on Instagram and social media and Twitter at Chef_Plum. And, of course, if you check us out on iTunes on a Tuesday morning, make sure you please review and subscribe. It helps something called the algorithm. I don't know what algorithm is. Maybe Megan does. Maybe we'll ask her that when she's on here. We'll be right back, man. Sit right there. Hang tight. Check out Far Behind, Social Distortion. Be right back, guys. Thanks.
We're friends like you. Who needs enemies? You ain't right. You ain't never gonna be around. I don't need this misery. Your soul is toxic. You ain't no friend of mine. No. You talk real trash when I'm not around. Build yourself up. You gotta tear me down. You have to excuse me. Time.
God, I love that song so much, man. I tell you, there's a lot of bands out there that just really strike a chord with me and that are good forever. Bands that have been around since I was line cooking, since I was hustling my way through the business, and Social Distortion is definitely one of them. That's one of my favorite songs ever. All right, listen, I know it's very self-serving. Welcome back, Plum Love Food is Live. I'm your host. My name is Chef Plum. If you haven't figured that out yet, after over 100 episodes, I don't know what to tell you. You're checking out season 4, episode 27. Let me tell you what. About a year ago, I was humbled and lucky enough to get involved with, as many of you know, the project with Edible, Edible Magazine, and doing it here locally where I live in Connecticut. Was phenomenal, and we saw room to grow. We saw an opportunity to make it bigger, to showcase local stuff. As you guys know how much I'm so passionate about that. If we don't take care of our farmers, we're going to lose them. So my partner and I reached out to another edible magazine. We thought if we did it successfully here, we should do it successfully someplace else. So we ended up reaching out to Edible Long Island and East End, because the East End, for those of you who don't know, is the Hamptons, Montauk, that sort of area where you see in the summertime or all the housewives of New Jersey or whatever go to. Beautiful, stunningly gorgeous area, great people, great food, an amazing spot. I work out there a lot. So I thought it was, this song's got to go. I'm sorry, we're not at a dance club. All right, good. So we ended up reaching out, and I thought it would be a lot of fun to have the opportunity to do it out there. And one of our biggest supporters was this lovely lady named Megan. I shouldn't say lady. I think she sounds like you're old. I know you can hear me right now. I don't mean that you're old, but this lovely girl named Megan, and she's a giant supporter of ours. As a matter of fact, you can check her out on a video coming out here very, very soon where you meet Megan. And no, I'm getting a thank you for turning the music off. You're very welcome. But she's awesome. Her name is Megan. She is the digital editor for Edible Long Island and East End, a giant supporter of what we do. And overall, you guys know how much I just like good people. She's an amazing person, super nice, super fun, very funny, goes with the flow, but also very, very good at her job. And I have the pleasure of meeting her and becoming friends with her and having her on the show right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Megan Harlow, the digital editor for Edible Magazine's Long Island and East End. Megan, what's happening?
Hi, Chef. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course, that was such a long-winded like intro. I don't know why I had to tell some 15-minute story.
No, it was a great story. I liked it. I was a little nervous about following up Kevin Levine. As I was telling you earlier, I'm just wild about the cutting board he made you for Edible on the road. I saw it in the latest episode of Edible Nutmeg, and it's just such an incredible piece. I want one. I'm going to order one when we hang up. That's it.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, they're just gorgeous. They really are.
I mean, and these things are made by a chef. I don't know. We've already talked enough about his stuff. I don't want to keep putting over hot blocks, but he does a great job with the man, and they look stunningly gorgeous. And we're just so lucky to have him have the opportunity to make something like this for us and showcase it.
Yeah, and the new episode, speaking of stunningly gorgeous, just looks great. I'm going to rewatch it when I'm snowed in tomorrow.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. We have some new guys working with us, and they really are killing it, and they just did a great job with it, and I'm so excited to have them, and I can't wait to bring them out your way here soon and start shooting again out there with you guys. Because I tell you what, Long Island, and especially the East End, is my home away from home, and I love it. It's one of my favorite places ever. How long have you been out there? Like, so you live in Long Island, right? Like, have you been there your whole life, or where'd you come from?
Sure. I was born in Queens, but I've lived sort of like middle Suffolk County my whole life. Now I'm living in Smithtown. But so I'm basically an hour to Southampton, an hour to Manhattan. So I'm really central.
Wow.
So it's really literally the best of both worlds. So I'm able to really keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on the East End in terms of food, but also what's going on in Nassau County and Queens and Brooklyn and Manhattan. So it's the perfect place to be.
So you think about places like the Hamptons versus places like, Manhattan, New York City. First of all, they're about the same to drive in, first of all. If it's after 2 o'clock, don't even try to drive out there. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But as far as food goes, do you see kind of the same things happening in the city, happening out in the Hamptons? I mean, they're not that far apart, but is the food that different?
I don't think so. And if anything, and I'm probably going to piss off some city people, but I think you really see a lot of the farm-to-table stuff moving from the East End to the city and not vice versa. You know, so many of the best restaurants in Manhattan are sourcing their produce and their fish and livestock all from the East End. You know, you think of Dock to Dish out in Montauk. They have a Kickstarter going right now, which we could talk about later. It's so cool. But they're selling their fish to the best restaurants in Manhattan. So wherever you go, they're really, you owe a lot to the sort of culinary legacy and the growing legacy of the East End and the rest of Long Island. But in terms of cuisine, in terms of cuisine, I think that we're less trendy in, you know, we're not having, you've probably seen those milkshakes at Black Tap in New York City. Sort of like everyone wants to make Instagram-worthy food. And I don't think that has really caught on here on Long Island, which I'm pretty happy about. I think it's just a commitment to making things that taste great and are grown and produced in sustainable ways, which I just think is a more worthwhile mission.
Wow, you just gave me like 15 things to talk about. I have like 9 questions now, 15 things to talk about.
I'm ready.
So you're right, though, because, you know, especially here doing our project in Connecticut with Edible Nutmeg Magazine, I've learned so much about our local food here. And it's amazing how much of our local, I mean, some of our best oysters come from here. Some of the best scallops come from here, come from us here in our, what they would call, quote, quote, the country or whatever. But if you want fresh scallops or fresh seafood, they're coming from us or they're coming from you guys out in the East End if you're in New York City.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's where they're coming from.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's it. And that's scallops and only two places they're coming from.
That's it. If you want fresh local scallops, that's where they're coming from. But I think that because, especially for us here in Connecticut, we're sandwiched between New York City and Boston, we get looked over. You know, people don't pay that much attention to it. The same thing, I think, with Long Island a little bit. Like, people think of Manhattan, they don't think of Long Island food.
Exactly. And I think that's why what Edible does and what you do is so important, because it highlights the people that are supporting the rest of the culinary world for the, and that's getting more attention and sort of glossing over the fact that excellent things are happening here.
Completely. And we live in a world now where, you know, so much of our, so much about food is becoming such a regular thing for people, where people who, everyday people, not in a bad way, but, you know, listen, I've been a culinary professional for 20 years. I've been working in the hospitality business. Food has been paying my bills for 20 years now. And
way to make a living.
It's a true, well, yeah, but I mean, when you think about it like that, like, that's how important food is to me. Like, I have a great family because of food. I have a beautiful house because of food. You know, food has provided that for me. A lot of hard work also. But I think people in general now are starting to understand that more, kind of with things like what you do with Edible Magazine or with Food Network or Cooking Channel, or, you know, that's kind of really giving people a different look, a different take on stuff. Do you find that more happening from a digital standpoint now or more from the print magazine standpoint? I know that's a very broad question, but.
I think all of it feeds into each other, but definitely I do think the future is digital. You know, they always say the revolution will be televised, the revolution
televised,
will be tweeted and put on Facebook and put on Instagram. you know, we just look at our traffic and so much of it comes just from social media. But I think really where technology is helping, again, I have to go to Dr. Dish, they're working with Google to create this sort of new traceability initiative. They're calling it Dr. Dish 2.0, where they're going to actually allow restaurant goers to track fish from the ocean to the dock to their own dish at a restaurant, which is just crazy. So on one level, that's, you know, insane. You see technology and the digital world helping in sustainability practices and environmental issues like that. But then you also see people like you, chefs, that everyone wants to eat your food and see what it's about. And there used to be such an air of mystery to what you do. And now, of course, there still is. But you have Instagram and people can have access to you and you can talk to them directly. And I think people love that. And it invites the average person into a conversation that they were previously excluded from, which I just think is so cool. You know, we have winemakers that are on Instagram. We have farmers that are on Instagram. I love, personally, if you want to check out The Farm Beyond, they grow, they actually cultivate wild edibles. So things that you would just see, like, that people used to have to forage for, they're actually cultivating on the East End. And their Instagram feed is just beautiful. And it just, it helps everyone. I think it really democratizes the whole fine food, good food, whole food movement in a beautiful way. So I'm pro-digital.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my God. You just, like, blew my mind with that whole statement there. Just talking about what they're doing out in the East End. Okay. When we're out there to shoot on the road, I want to go there. I want to go there.
They're incredible. Their store is just amazing. They, I'm probably going to mess it up, but I know that they started farming in France, and they were so, it's a husband and wife team, and they were just so taken by, like, this French philosophy that you just go out and you just, like, kind of pick what you need for dinner that day. And they moved back to the States, and they set up on the East End on the North Fork, and they said, you know, how can we bring that here? And they've been working, I think, a couple of years now, and they have tremendous relationships with local restaurants in the North Fork that are using, like, their wild nettles and fiddleheads and just doing crazy cool things with them. So I would love to get you there and see what you could do and eat it, of course.
Man, it's amazing to see that sort of stuff. That's so cool. That's so, so cool. I love it. I love it. That's, you got me all fired up now. I'm ready to go cook food now. That's amazing.
All right,
and I'd be cooking all day, there. Megan. Oh, yeah, right. Let's do it.
Forget the stove.
God. That is so cool. Right, you threw me all. I have, like, all these questions now. You brought up. No, it's fine. Are you kidding me? This is what it's all about. Just know that we're gonna be here till midnight tonight. the fish guys you're talking about, like, how people care about that. How much people, like, the fact that they care about that. That's such a new thing within the past couple of years. 10, 12 years ago, nobody gave a shit. Nobody cared.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did a gig, a party this past weekend, and you know, it was a 40 people, whatever, who cares, buffet party. But, you know, the gentleman was like, listen, you know, I want to get whatever fresh white fish you can get, that's what I want. And I've been doing this for 20 years now, and you find people asking or saying things like that to you, I mean, that shows that what you're doing is working. You're teaching people, because no one would even think like 10 years ago, no one even think that I never would do it. But the fact you could buy a frozen fish, no one, that's not even a thing anymore. Like, no one wants anything to do with that. You know, the fact that they would say, what if you get it fresh? And I think that goes to show what you're doing is working. Or, you know, and the fact that we have a thing now, you're talking about those fish guys who can see where the fish comes from a boat to the table. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Isn't it? It's incredible. And, you know, you think of the stats, and I'm on their Kickstarter now, so I won't mess it up. But more than 90% of the seafood consumed in the U.S. is imported, and less than 1% of all seafood anywhere can be accurately traced back to a fisherman. And I think why that's been, it's just startling, right?
Wow.
So why I think that's been allowed to happen is that people didn't know and people didn't care. And so that when people like you come around and film and create videos that are engaging and make people care, that's, I think, really the front line against that. And that's what helps organizations like Dr. Dish thrive and just helps everyone be more aware of what they're eating.
Mm-hmm. So the genesis for the whole edible concept and what we do on the road, what I do is, and I joke and I call it, like, catertaining, Megan. So I catertain. If I come to your event, people want the guy who's been on Food Network at their house, whatever. I use all that to my advantage, of course. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You see me talk about food. You know how weird I get and passionate I get about it. I talk with my hands and everything goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened is with edible is I wanted to share that with everybody else. I wanted them to see the things that I'm learning from talking to people or talking to these local farmers or talking to these local fishmongers or, you know, going out in the middle of the Great South Bay and checking out the oysters, which is just crazy. Like, to show people, this is where your food comes from. Do you know that? Like, look at what's happening here right in your backyard. Mm-hmm. And I get so fired up about it. And I think that's what, you know, one of the things I love the most about Edible Magazine and what you guys do is that you're the same way. You guys are passionate about that as well.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what we're passionate about. You know, we always say, I believe our tagline really is just we tell the story of how our region eats and drinks. And, you know, it's so important. We eat all the time. We drink all the time. Some of us more than others.
Yeah.
Some of us especially more than others in the snow. people don't think about it. They just, you could easily become a mindless zombie and just eat fast-produced, mass-produced, poorly produced food, or you could really know your farmer and see where it's coming from and support the people in your community that are growing it for you, because if you don't, no one will, and then they won't exist. So I think it's important. You know, before I had met you and gone to, we met at the Blue Island Oyster Festival. I had never been down there before, and I live about 10 miles away, you know, and I'm interested
really?
In stuff. Yeah. So we have to continually, I think, push ourselves to go out there and see faces and see farms and see where our food is coming from and engage in our food system personally.
And, you know, I tell people all the time, and you can probably vouch for this too, it's amazing how much, I mean, listen, these guys are proud of what they do. And if you go down there and ask, man, if you show interest and you care and you talk to them, you'll be surprised what will happen. I mean, for instance, I know if you go see our friends down at Blue Island Oysters, you go see those guys and just get involved and talk to them. I mean, you're going to learn everything you could possibly think about. I mean, it was like a science lab where we went, wasn't it?
Oh, it was crazy. I will never forget, like, seeing the little nursery and the love shack.
Yeah.
It was wild.
The love shack.
Really cool.
Oh my God, you're still right.
I'm still scarred.
But like, that's probably my fault. I apologize. What's funny though is that like, but I think a lot of farmers are like that locally. If you go and talk to them and show interest, man, they'll show you anything you want to see. They'll take you into the fields. You can taste some of the most unbelievable grapes, the most unbelievable tomatoes, whatever kind of farm it is. They want to show you. They want you to be excited. They want you to be fired up about it. I mean, you've been to a bunch of places. Do you see the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I mean, if you walk into a mom and pop owned bakery, they'll bring you back into the kitchen. They're so excited that people care. If you go to a farm, you're right.
Yes.
They'll take you right into the field and they're going to pick you the most incredible tomato you've ever eaten in your life. And they're going to tell you exactly what kind of heirloom variety it is. Like, it's wild.
Oh.
And they're not. They're dying to talk about it. And so I think that's when producers are contacted by you or by us at Edible, they're so excited to tell the story. They're passionate about this stuff.
Man, and you're right. And that's what it's all about. And I think that what happened, I'm getting messages right now from a gentleman who's telling me he's getting inspired and passionate about our conversation right now. Like, it's just firing him up. That's what we want. Like, that's what it's about. And I think that supporting these people is really important. That's why I think what you do and me as a chef, what I do and other chefs who support our local farmers, we got to take care of these guys. We got to support them, because if we don't, we're going to lose them, because there's so much competition out there now that it's just, it's crushing people.
Yeah. And especially coming from where you live and where I live, it's not cheap here. And you know, there's only so much you make from selling tomatoes. So if you go in there, you know, that's why a lot of farmers on the East End are going to spirits, because they're the most value added items that you can actually sell at a farm. You know, what does it cost to grow potatoes? Not that much. And how much can you sell them for? Not that much. But man, you turn out a small bottle of artisanally made small batch vodka and you could sell it for $40. So I'm more local booze. I'm pretty into that idea.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I talk about it all the time. Like, we don't even bat an eye at that anymore. Like, you know, I talk about recently I had a brewery on here, Thimble Island Brewery out of here in Connecticut. They do great beer. It's fantastic. Okay. The amount of small breweries that are popping up now is insane. Our tiny little state of Connecticut, we have like 60 breweries now. It's crazy, right?
Wow,
and they're all getting like extra funding. And they're what's going to end up happening is that our little state here is going to become known for craft beer, because this is the thing. Mm. They're all pretty freaking good. Like, there's not a bad one in the bunch. And you have a lot of them out there on Long Island, too. And I think you're right with what you're saying. But what's happened is at some point in time, Megan, I don't know when it happened, but all of a sudden we woke up one morning and literally it was okay to pay $13 for a six-pack of beer. Like, that just happened.
Yeah.
And we were all like, okay, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's exactly. You just hand over your credit card.
Yeah. I mean, that just became what we do. I mean, I remember being a young line cook at 19 years old, 18 years old, 17 years old, working the line and, you know, being able to barely afford a $4.50 six pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon. But if I could get one, it was a good night.
It was a great night.
It was a good night. So you live in one of the coolest areas you know, I think here, especially in the Northeast, where having so much access to farms, but still being, you know, kind of surrounded by salt water, which makes such amazing food to begin with. What do you think makes, if you were to say what separates Long Island and the East End from, say, other places in the country, maybe, you know, places like Hilton Head or something like that, that are islands as well, the Eastern Seaboard of Virginia, places that are islands that are kind of similar. What do you think separates it the most? Like, what do you think, why would people want to come there?
Well, you know, there's, I think it's hard to say, but I think that really we are influenced by being so close to the city. Obviously, that brings a lot of people our way. But the actual communities out on Long Island are so unique. And, you know, if you go to the North Fork, you're going to get a very different experience than if you go to the South Fork.
Absolutely.
I love both, but they, right, they are truly unique to each other.
I mean, you're talking Napa versus L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
And then in between, you have Shelter Island, which is kind of a mosaic of the two forks, but then also has its completely own vibe. So I think that is probably what distinguishes Long Island and the East End from other like maritime farming regions, because I don't know that you would get that diversity just in terms of actual like looking at the landscape. Like if you're on the North Fork, you just look out and there's flat farmland as far as the eye can see. And on the South Fork, as you know, like up until you get to Montauk, you are driving through very ritzy roads.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though it is like that out there, you're right. There is some of that, like, kind of thing out there. That like you said, the ritzy areas. But you take a right or a left on one of these side roads, and you're at a farm in no time. Like, they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere. Yeah, and I mean, you make another turn, and you can jump on a fishing boat with the best of the boys, you know?
Oh, my God. I want to be summer so bad.
Oh, me too. I know. I'm ready. Especially for the East End. We're talking about the perfect place. And actually, I have to defend the rest of Long Island because there are really awesome things going on past the East End, further west. If you come, I would love to take you, since you were talking about beer, to Sand City Brewing. It's right in Northport, which is on the north fork of the North Shore of Long Island. And it's just, they're making incredible IPAs up there.
Are they? Well, let's make that happen for sure. We'll go there for sure.
Yeah. Done.
I love that, because you know how much I don't like beer.
Oh, you hate it.
I think I was drinking your beers at last time we were together and hanging out.
You definitely were drinking my beer.
I think I was.
I'm so hot.
So what do you think? So a question coming in right now is I'm trying to figure out the best way to word this question.
Sure.
So you have a lot of companies out there now, Sysco, US Foods, bigger name companies who, of course, I mean, they're doing a lot for local farmers because they have to. The demand is there. They're trying to do more for it. But you still have those companies, those restaurants and smaller places who are more budget conscious and need to have a more economically friendly product. So the question here is, have you seen, or I mean, I don't know, it's a weird question, I guess, but maybe I don't know how you would have seen it, but maybe talking to farmers, these bigger companies coming in who have frozen products, and if they're affecting the smaller farmers?
You know, you definitely do hear about that. The competition is so intense, especially because, you know, the bigger companies that come in, they have budgets that small farms just can't compete with. But there are other larger companies that are coming in that are actually kind of working as patrons of the farms, like Our Harvest. So what that does is you go to their, have you heard of it?
I have.
Oh, okay, great. So it's just, if you go online, you can actually shop direct to farms. It kind of works as a virtual marketplace. So if I want to get something from Sangley Farms that I can't get out there and they can't come to me, I can go to Our Harvest and they'll deliver it. There, again, tech is really helping farmers in a way that I don't think anyone would have expected. So that's one way.
A small fee, yeah, they have to charge a small fee, of course, which is fine. I think it's worth it to pay it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the fun part is going to be when we get to the point where these companies like this can actually ship stuff, though, as opposed to you know, mm-hmm. if we can get, you know, I would love to be able to be, you know, for instance, I'd love to be able to be in, you know, Chicago doing an event and say, listen, I have the most amazing corn from Balsam Farm, and it's amazing, mm-hmm. and you got to taste this corn. And, you know, yeah. but we'll get there. I think we'll get there.
I think we'll get there. I mean, it's just the cost of shipping are so prohibitive right now. But, you know, like Amazon sure. gets those drones going. Could just drone them.
Oh, my God.
Over.
That's the next – dude, that's one of the big food trends of 2017. Did you know that? It's supposed to be drone delivery. It's going to be the next big – that's crazy talk,
that
right?
Yeah. And Brian, our editor-in-chief, has written a lot about drones being used in farming. He's written really incredible pieces. Yeah, so that really might be the future.
I'm going to check that out. And by the way, I have a drone now that we use when we shoot edible, by the way. So if we come out there, I can't wait to use the drone. Oh, yeah. Imagine these big sprawling shots of the vineyards or the farm. I can't wait. Oh, it's so different now. I can't
Expect
to see how different it is. It's so different now. It's awesome. We're like professionals now. It's awesome.
And I thought you were professional then. So I'm really excited.
Oh, shit. Well, listen, it's good product. We churn out good product, but it's just a different level now, which I'm very excited about. So listen, you handle the digital content, and we touched on how digital stuff is changing. You know, it's kind of becoming almost more mainstream now, or even you know, hell, we can say 18 months ago, it wasn't nowhere near what it is now. It's definitely grown. You see these things with everybody has an OTT channel, an OTT box, over the, you know, like an over-the-top box, like a Roku channel, Apple TV channel. How come edible hasn't gone that way yet? I don't know if you can answer that.
I think that's in the works. You know, we've been really constantly thinking about how we would expand with video. And that's why we're happy to work with Edible on the Road and with you for a variety of reasons. But that was really one of them, that we could sort of see how it works and what our readers like to see. But we're just trying, I think, to sort of find our visual video identity before we go on there. Because as you know, probably firsthand, it's expensive.
Yeah, it does cost some money to do. That's for sure. But I mean, there's definitely different ways to make it work. And it's almost unbelievable now how many people, I'm not breaking any rules here, but we've been contacted by Tastemade. You know who they are?
Mm. Yeah.
They're like a digital network, and they wanted to, it's a long story, but we were contacted by them about content and, you know, it's amazing how. Yeah, and because they're more of a California West Coast based thing, and they want more East Coast content, whatever. I don't know if it's going to work out, but the interesting part about that is that we've been also contacted by a couple of, like, you know, third, what they call third tier cable networks about what we do.
Okay.
And there's more money. And it's not a lot of money, trust me, but there's more money in the digital than there is in the third tier cable network.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I believe it, doing what they do, but it's crazy. That's nuts. I mean, is this because companies really do have a budget for digital advertising, and that's huge. And that just didn't exist before.
No, it's a whole different world for it. That's for damn sure. And it's great to see it. I think you probably see it firsthand with what you do. Do you think that a lot of, so how about this? The other week I had a gentleman on here, he's a senior editor for Connecticut Magazine, giant magazine. They do tons and tons of business. They base their entire print magazine, Megan, off of what they do digitally. Is that the same? You guys use that same formula at all?
Yes.
Or no?
You know, what's so funny, Chef, is that we started doing that in the fall of 16. We officially went digital first, meaning that all of our print content is first published online. So that's very funny. I'm happy that we're riding the same trend as Connecticut Magazine.
Oh, yeah. And listen, you should check these guys out. They are giant. They're a huge magazine.
Oh, I will.
Cool. It's interesting to see what they do. And all their print content is based off digital.
Hmm. Wow, that's exactly what we do. And we find that our readers like it, and it helps us too. You know, we can see what readers really like once it's published online. And then when we're curating the magazine, we can sort of really fill it with the most compelling stories.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because that, I mean, with you, the digital content, I mean, you can really track it. You can see what's going on. You can see like which is great, right?
Oh, it's incredible. We could see, for instance, if someone Googled like chicken stew to make in a blizzard, I could see that that's how you got to our site.
yes, it's
amazing. We can see it's so cool. You could see if people are clicking up from Facebook, how long they're staying on, if they're going deeper into the site. It really is like an analytical dream with what you can
that's
do and sort of how you could, how you could tailor your content to suit people's actual behavior on your site and hopefully encourage them to come back.
Right, I'm gonna tell you a creepy story. You ready? You wanna hear a creepy story?
I'm ready.
I had 162 people last month get to my website by Googling Chef Plum's wife. How about that?
Oh my god, that's so creepy.
Yeah. Well, my wife is not public at all. I don't post any. Stop it. I don't post anything. Like, my family stuff is very separate from what I do. And but I've said on Food Network several times, my wife's a 10. I'm a 4.5 at best. And so, I mean, I guess what did I think was going to happen? You know? Jesus.
Yeah, people want to see her. They want to see the crown jewel in the Plum family.
I know. They have no idea. I know. She won't even do the intro to the radio show with me. She won't do it. It's
really?
I try to get every... I ask her every week. She's like, no. Leave me alone.
So you guys are a good balance. It makes sense.
Oh yeah, no, she's awesome. I wouldn't be where I'm at without her. She's my. I would still be flipping burgers someplace if I didn't have her. That's for sure. She's my inspiration. Aww. She makes me who I am.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Now we're getting old.
What is she like for you to cook? What's her favorite thing that you make for her?
Salmon.
Salmon.
Right now. Okay. Yes. Next time you see me, you'll see we're on quite a health kick now, and I've been working out very, very hardcore. And I was a pro wrestler at one point, Megan. I was a pro wrestler, believe it. Long story. But I'm trying to get back to that.
Okay.
And we've been eating very, very healthy. And one of my favorite things I make now is I get this beautiful. It's called black pearl salmon. It's delicious. It's beautiful, like unbelievable salmon. It's expensive as shit. It's delicious. And all I did, Megan, is I coat it with ginger, garlic, a little bit of parsley, and on the pan, I put all these vegetables, whatever you got, I'll put it on there, whether it's broccoli rabe and squash and onions and garlic, and you put it all on there, and I put a couple lemon slices in half on there, and olive oil, a little more garlic, sea salt, put it in the oven, and I roast it off for 20, 25 minutes, and pull it out, and then I put it on the plate with some vegetables, some kale, and then I make this honey and mustard mixture, and I drizzle it over top. It's the greatest thing you ever had in your life.
Oh, that sounds
so good.
Yeah, now I'm hungry.
It's so good.
That sounds incredible. It's so good for you.
And she loves it. Yes, it's all vegetables. Mm. It's delicious and beautiful fish. It's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, yeah.
that's
what I do.
Okay, I want the rest.
We got married in 2003, so I gotta keep reinventing myself. That's what I do. Because she could care less about what I do as far as TV and shit. She doesn't give a shit anymore.
That's so funny. You gotta keep it spicy with the salmon.
I have to. So check it out. So out east, and of course where you live on Long Island, how much have you seen the change from farming to where they start marketing themselves more as like an organic farm? Have you seen a lot of that?
Yeah, there definitely the organic farming movement has definitely flourished on the East End while it's been flourishing elsewhere. But you do see some conventional farmers holding the course, which there's definitely room for, I think, both kinds of farms on Long Island. But the organic farmers are really doing such incredible work. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to Boomy Farms, but the farmer there, Frank, like if you hear him talk, it's Boomy, B-H-U-M-I. And if you hear Farmer Frank talk about what he does, it is just...
I love that you call him Farmer Frank.
Really,
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, it just gets you so excited. And we were talking just after the election. I was working on a story that I actually wound up passing on to our digital strategy editor, Bridget, on what a Trump presidency will mean for East End farmers, just in terms of like easing environmental regulations and just sort of feeling farmers out and how they feel. And Farmer Frank said to me, you know, my farm yesterday before the election was a place where everyone is welcome and every vegetable is welcome. And that's what it will remain. So I just think it's really cool. They're just doing really great things, and the Peconic Land Trust is always supportive and making sure that farmers can afford their land out there to grow organically and conventionally too. But definitely, you know, you've been to Balsam Farms. You know the incredible work that organic farmers are doing.
Well, I use Balsam all the time. They're one of my go-to places when I'm out in the East End doing catering gigs and parties. And I'll be out there again here very soon. The season's about to start, mm-hmm. And I use them all the time. And they work their asses off, but they make a great product.
Yeah,
they really do. I want to meet Farmer Frank, Megan.
You have to. He's amazing. He really is. He's very cool.
I really want to meet Farmer Frank. So, which brings us up to the thing here. And so, Vice, the network Vice is trying to get into food, right? And they're trying to, but you know, Vice also is a very like guy centric network, whether they want to or whether they don't want to be. Mm-hmm. But our story tonight. Our new story from Off the Block, brought to you by Hoplox Cutting Boards. Find out what's off the block by checking out hoploxcuttingboards.com. A fantastic deal, $49 can get you an amazing cutting board for your house, professional chef quality stuff. If you're spending money on great knives, you should spend a little extra money and get a good surface to cut it on. Check out hoploxcuttingboards.com. Off the Block tonight is brought to you by Hoplox Cutting Boards. And the story I want to talk to you about here is why I bring up organic. Is Vice has been doing a study on food. It's really interesting what they've done when it comes to cutting board. No, not cutting board. Listen to me, my one-track mind. When it comes to buying organic groceries from a grocery store. And it's quite an interesting story. So check this out. Let's check this out. Listen to this.
According to a Nielsen study, 29% of millennials say they are very willing to pay a premium for food with healthy attributes. That's more than any previous generation, and it's part of the reason organic food sales keep climbing from $14 billion in 2005 to $43 billion in 2015. Joe Abakush is a 26-year-old who owns a supermarket in Astoria, Queens, a popular neighborhood for young, single New Yorkers.
When it comes to produce, I almost don't sell anything that's not organic. It's crazy to me. Like, even the customers who will go and buy a regular jar of peanut butter, they're going to buy organic produce.
As you probably know, organic foods tend to be more expensive than non-organic. The grocers we spoke to say they're just passing along the extra costs they pay for organics, which are more expensive to produce. But economists say that's not the whole story.
We did a study in 2015 that looked at organic fresh produce relative to conventionally grown fresh produce, and we showed that retail margins were more than 10% higher for organic fresh produce.
A retail margin refers to the percentage of profit the store keeps after selling an item. It's basically the sale price minus what the store paid for the item, as well as things like labor and rent, and in the case of grocery stores, the cost of food going bad. Grocers can justify higher margins by pointing to the fact that some organics spoil faster, but they're also charging you a bit extra for the feeling you get when you buy organic products.
Among behavioral scientists, there's this idea of what's called a warm glow. Warm glow refers to sort of this good feeling you get when you do something good. And when millennials buy organic foods, really what they're paying extra for is this good feeling that they've done something good in the world. They've eliminated some of the pesticides that are out there or whatever it might be. They feel good about that and they're willing to pay a premium for that feeling.
So wait, we're paying extra for a warm, fuzzy feeling? Are we getting ripped off?
Yeah.
You know, if you're a hardcore accountant, you might say, buying organics is a foolish thing to do because you're spending so much more money. But if you're instead a psychologist, you might say, you know, buying organics is a pretty cheap way to feel better about yourself. Who cares if you spent 30% more on strawberries? It's probably worth it to you.
All right. You want to go first or should I go first?
I'm going to let you go first.
All right. I have a couple of issues here. Number one, they completely skirted by one of the biggest issues I have with this, and they talked about the margins for the growth, right? They completely skirted by that, and I want to talk about that too. The feeling that they're talking of you get when you buy organic, or I think you could even break it down to when you shop at Whole Foods or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a real thing. Like, that happens. That's not a joke. Like, I think I for me, I feel better when I look at something and say, okay, cool, this is a local farm, or this came from here. You know, it makes me feel better. So that's a real life thing.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. I've felt it before. I feel it more, even rather than when I'm in Whole Foods, I feel it more if I buy produce direct from a farmer, at a farmer's market or at a farm stand. You know, when you actually see the face of the farmer that you're buying something
completely
from, who grew it. And yeah, that feels good. I'm with you on that.
But that's one of the things I think that they're saying, that the industry itself is beginning to capitalize on. And I don't know if I agree with that so much. And if that is the case, I think I'm okay with that, because if the local farmer is still being able to support his farm and make a great farm, and if, not saying you and me and people who understand how this works, but, you know, Gen Pop number 7, who just says, oh, I did the buy organic, like, does it. I'm cool with that, you know, so long as they're supporting the local farm, you know.
Yeah,
you feel the same way?
However, the money makes its way back to local farms and keeps them farming in our communities, I'm okay with. That's fine.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I mean, as long as it's going back to the local farm. Now, what I do have a slight problem with is when they talked about the margins, and they didn't really harp on that. And that's typical Vice freaking news stories. Yeah. They don't get down to actually what's important here. You know, they try to make us, you know, feel like we're all stupid because we feel good about buying organic food, which is exactly what Vice does.
Exactly.
Instead of talking about the fact that we're too Brooklyn. We need to wear some suspenders, a screw, a mask, and have a beard, and we can all fit in Brooklyn. Go fuck yourself. Anyway. but to have the opportunity they say these grocery stores, the margins are still about the same as though they would be on buying non-organic produce. And I don't know, that might be a slight problem. I think if more people knew that could become a problem.
No, I agree. And I think that's, again, where rather than pointing our fingers at the producers of organic produce, we should point our fingers at the distributors of the produce, because you know more than anything that the farmers are not seeing the margins there.
Absolutely.
So I think, if they were clear and it was made obvious, I think you'd see a lot more people signing up for CSAs directly with farmers. And, you know, if you look at them, you get a lot of times, you know, for $500 a season, their farmers will tell you you're actually going to get about $800 worth of produce. So there definitely is a margin, but I agree that people should be more aware. I think it would keep farmers even healthier in terms of finances.
Completely. And so what I found most shocking, as the more and more I read about this and got and dug into a little bit more, do you know who the biggest buyer of organic produce in our country is?
I heard millennials.
Well, in a story they say millennials, of course, but I mean from a corporate standpoint, from a business standpoint, like real, like lots of money. It's Walmart.
What?
Walmart. Yes.
Oh, that's wild.
Walmart.
I can't believe that.
It's crazy, right? Well, you're going to see it here
that's
soon.
Nuts.
Walmart's going to be a big push for organic and local very, very soon. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. I mean, you think about the Joe Schmo who goes to Walmart. I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean it more like the average person. But now they're going to have access to something that maybe they wouldn't even think about before.
I think in that sense, it's a great victory for the average consumer. You know, you always see sort of, but obesity rates in poor areas, they're always higher. And just because people don't have access to healthier food. So I think, you know, nothing is bringing things to the average Joe like Walmart. So if somebody can go into a Walmart in a place pretty far from organic farms and pick up some organic tomatoes or kale, I think that's a win. Again, I would be worried about what the returns are going to be for farmers just because they're entering such a corporate machine with Walmart. But I don't know. I'd have to see how it would work for the farmer before I would really say. But I think it's a huge victory for the consumer.
Well, it's the second time I've said this today to someone who is far smarter than me. And I'll tell you, in the restaurant hotel business, if your costs are bad, having tremendous sales really can heal a lot of those bad cost wounds. Mm. So if all of a sudden a big corporation like Walmart wants to come in and buy your product for a little bit less than what you normally sell it for, but they're going to buy thousands of pounds of it, it kind of does help. It kind of does cover a lot of those bad wounds there, I think.
Oh, well, that's great then.
It's interesting to see. We'll see. We'll see if it's great. I think it's amazing that people, what I think it shows the most is it shows that people as a whole are starting to acknowledge it. That's what I think I see the most out of it. That's what I think when you have such a mainstream thing like a Walmart come on board with something like that and want to be a part of it, that to me shows that, listen, we're seeing a change. And that's great.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a huge success of knowledge and awareness. And it definitely seems that on the sort of national consciousness, people are really starting to care about where their food is sourced. So I'm with you. I think it's great.
And that comes from people like you doing what you do with Edible and putting things up. That's where it comes from. That's how people get educated. That's how people learn more about it. That's what it is. There you go, guys. That's what's off the block tonight from Hot Blocks Cutting Boards. Make sure you check out hotblockscuttingboards.com. And of course, Hot Blocks on Instagram. They got a great deal right now. Get yourself a beautiful, professional cutting board. You spend a bunch of money for great knives, don't cut them on a bad surface. Hot Blocks Cutting Boards. Check those guys out. Sorry, I have to. I wish I could say I have to do it, but they're great boards. They really, really are. They're unbelievable.
No, I'm with you. I swear I'm really going to buy one.
Dude, he's got a great deal right now. Perfect. You can even get your name on there. That'd be awesome.
Or
put something dumb on it. Just put on there like I like food. Just put something dumb on there. I don't know. I could talk to you for like 2 hours here about food. Like, you're such a fun person to talk to because you've seen so much.
You're
such a big part of it, especially where you live. And I mean that with the work that you do. The work that you do is the reason why Walmart is being forced to carry local and organic food because of the stuff that you do. So don't stop.
Thank you. I love what I do. So I'm happy to do
it. I mean it. I'm going to do it. There you go. All right. Listen, we got to do one more segment. We got to do one more segment before I let you go because I'm looking at my I have a clock in front of me that tells me how much time I have left. And it's ticking down. It's not going up. It's going down. And that's not a good thing.
No.
But we got to play a fun game called What Did You Learn? And What Did You Learn is brought to you by my good friends over at Ergo Chef Knives. Make sure you check those guys out. We got a beautiful pop-up dinner happening April 1st at Ergo Chef Knives, the new shape of cutlery. These guys are crushing it. Their knives are phenomenal. And I use them every single day before they even want to be a part of this program. These are my guys, locally made knives right here in Danbury, Connecticut, Ergo Chef Knives. Check them out, ergochef.com. And use promo code Chef. Promo code Plum 15 off for a fantastic discount over at Ergo Chef. This is the new shape of cutlery. We're gonna shape your brain up right now with this. That's what we're gonna do tonight, Megan. I'm gonna tell you something I learned about you that I didn't know before. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
I had no idea you were an alcoholic. I had no idea, none. I talked to you about places to go when we come to on the road there, and you're like, we have a brewery to go to. We're going there now. I'm just kidding. You're not an alcoholic, but I had no idea you're such a beer fan. I can't wait to go do it. So I learned that tonight from you. So now it's your turn. Tell me if something that you learned tonight, whether it's serious, whether it's funny, either or, no right or wrong.
I learned that I've been eating salmon the completely wrong way and that I need to get it with Plum and get the recipe.
There you go.
And I gotta stop Googling her because she's getting a complex.
Holy shit, that's so weird. I'm happy to send you how we make it. It's beautiful. You can see it on Instagram too. It's fantastic.
Oh,
delicious.
Okay, I would love that.
One of my favorite things to make. You know what else I learned tonight?
What?
I learned that apparently grocery stores are making more money off organic food than I thought they were. Mm. And that bothers me.
Yeah. It bothers me too. It's sort of preying on people's goodwill.
Yes. Yes, yes. And we're using psychology to justify it by saying, listen, you're paying extra money, but it's making you feel good to do it.
I don't like it.
No, I don't like it at all. So come on, give me one more. You had to learn one more thing tonight.
Okay. Well, I learned that Walmart is the number one buyer of organic produce in America. That is, to me, really shocking.
It's look it up. I'm not lying to you. It's crazy. It's insane.
Oh, I believe you, but you know, you would just think Whole Foods maybe, like, but
right.
Walmart. That's wild. That's very cool.
Oh my God, I was in Whole Foods today and I was asking them what local fish they had, Megan, because I was going to my client's house, they want local fish, whatever. What local fish they had. And they said, "Oh, this is a beautiful cod right here. It's delicious." I'm like, "Oh, great. Where is it from?" He said, "Maine." I said, "Oh."
That's not quite local.
That's pretty local. Glad to hear that.
But that's why
well, go to
your local fish market and get it from there. Get it from a dock. Get it from a fisherman. Whole Foods means well, but you're never going to get it as local or as sustainably made or caught or grown as you would from the farmer directly.
Absolutely. That's the best place to get it from. 100%. No doubt about it. Megan, I could talk to you for 2 more hours. I really could. Like, I have so many more questions about food and what's going on. I think we should do this again live this summer at some point when we're shooting down there.
Deal. I'm in.
You and I sitting drinking beers at your brewery you wanted to go to, and we could just do this live. It'll be amazing.
Perfect. Anytime.
I love it. That's awesome. Guys, make sure you check out Megan. She crushes it over there on Edible East End and Edible Long Island. If you type those in Google, you'll see things come up. And just type her name in it. You'll find things that she's written, things she's a part of. And coming out this week, I believe, Megan, right? You're going to release the Edible On The Road Season 1, the last episode with you guys. Mm-hmm. And I think you're in that video, right?
I am in it. We eat a lot of oysters. I showed it to my grandma, and she's like, "But why are you only eating?"
You're like, the magazine is called Edible, Graham. Damn.
Yeah, it's my job, you know. It's a terrible job. It's
That's right.
To do it.
There you go. And also, of course, Megan is fantastic to follow on Instagram. I don't do much else with Facebook and stuff because I'm weird. Mm-hmm. Instagram is my main thing. You can follow her at Maiden Thought on Instagram. Make sure you check her out there, and of course, as on Edible as well, Megan. So much fun to talk to you. I really appreciate your time tonight.
I had a great time, Chef. Thank you for having me.
You are awesome. I'll chat with you on down the road, all right?
Yes. Can't wait to see you down here soon.
Oh, I can't wait. All right. We'll talk to you soon, Megan. Thank you very much. Be well, and we'll holler at you down the road.
You too.
There she goes, guys. That's our good friend, Megan Harlow from Edible Magazine. She is fantastic. Look here. I just saw what I have 8 calls right now in front of me. I've got 15 minutes left. Well, not quite 15 minutes. Let's click this one and see what's going on here. All right. Area code 248. You're the last one on my list. I'm going backwards. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Lisa Hannaford from Michigan.
Yay! What's up, homie? How are you?
Yay! I'm good. I just wanted to call and say thanks for reaching out.
Oh, go fuck yourself. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you went through some trauma there, miss. You had some issues. What happened? Tell us a quick story.
I left work, walked around the corner to my car with my knife bag in my hand, and there was a guy waiting in a parked car and just rushed me, yanked the bag out of my hand, knocking me over in the process, and got back in the car and took off.
And what a douchebag, too, because when he got back to his car, wherever the fuck he was going, he opened it up and realized it was knives. I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do with this?
Like, seriously, he was just sitting there waiting. And it was like,
what
7:30.
A douche.
It was just crazy. But I've just, you know, I've had overwhelming response and people reaching out and helping out, and it's just, it's crazy and it's amazing, and I really appreciate it.
Well, good. Have you got the new knives yet?
I have not yet, but I understand that there is lots of stuff coming.
Let me tell you what, our good friends over at Ergo Chef Knives are looking after you and taking care of you.
Yeah,
and
I
tell you what, dude, I use these knives every day. And listen, it's not a joke. I really do. I worked a 12-hour day today, and I use my Ergo Chef Knives all day long. And it's going to change your life, Lisa. I'm not lying to you. You're going to be like, holy shit, why have I been doing this before?
I'm super stoked to get them. I can't wait. And
they're great quality.
they're going to remake all my spoons, and, you know, it's crazy.
Well, listen, we have a small community of people. We look after each other. We take care of each other. I think it's important that we do that, because not everybody comes from the same place that we all come from. And yeah. I'm glad that I'm sorry that it happened to you. I wish it didn't. I really wish it didn't. That's fucking shitty. And I'm sure it's messed with you a little bit more. Besides the fact you lost your knives, it's messed with you a little bit more than that. And
oh yeah,
I understand.
It's not even knives. It's the whole like sense of security that I have. But hey, I am on the ball now. That fucker better not ever come at me again. That's all I gotta say.
it's obnoxious, so. And I'm sorry that happened to you. But what I am happy about, to turn it off a positive note, is that you're going to get to use some amazing Ergo Chef knives. I can't wait for you to check them out. These guys they're great. I'm doing a pop-up dinner there April 1st.
Yeah, that sounds pretty rad.
Yeah, it's dope. Awesome.
I just wanted to say thanks.
Well, there you go. Here you go. Here's your time. Ready? I'm going to give you a few seconds. Do it on your own. Say whatever you want right now to whoever. Just say it. Just say whatever you want. Go for it.
I just want to thank everyone that reached out to me, from Lost Car Chef, the Ergo Knives, to Chef Nane Easy, Chef Kevin, Bearded Boredom on Instagram, like so many people, I can't even name them, and I truly from the heart appreciate it. It's been overwhelming, and it's awesome.
There you go. That's what's up right there. Well, I'm glad to give you the opportunity to say it to those people, and I hope they check it out and you can see it. But again, I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm glad you're okay, number one.
Yep.
But I'm also glad you get to experience some brand new knives. So it's all good. You know.
And
they'll
cool.
be there soon. So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, again, glad you're safe. Be well, Chef, and keep on kicking ass. Hey, where are you at again?
I am in Michigan. I'm working in the West Village in Detroit.
That's right. I thought you were. I got started to say Detroit, but I didn't want to fuck it up. But you're in Michigan.
No,
there
I
you
actually
go.
Live in the suburbs, but I work in Detroit now.
Right on. All right. So when are we cooking together? When's that happening? What are we doing?
Oh, hey, you name the time, buddy. I'm there.
There you go. Hey, come to Ergo Chef and cook with me. Listen,
when is that again? You gotta post it.
April. Yeah, I haven't posted it yet. It's April Fool's Day. We're doing five courses, some amazing food. Man, I can't wait. Pop up dinners are my thing, dude. I love doing them. I can't wait to kick ass. And my guys over Ergo Chef. I mean, dude, these guys—they're my local guys. Like, they're local to me. Like, they're just great people. And by the way, you're getting shot. I'm getting text messages from right now from some guy. I have no idea what his name is. Kevin Levine. I have no idea who the fuck that is.
I know.
He's sending me messages right now.
He's going to call you because you didn't pick up.
He's texting me right now. I don't know who he is. He says you're very talented and you're dope as fuck. And he's kind of quietly in love with you, just so you know. But I don't know what that means, but.
Hey, it's
Lisa, you're awesome. I'm glad you're safe. I look forward to you seeing pictures of these new knives. And again, sorry that happened to you, but I'm glad you're doing well and look forward to the future for you, okay?
Thanks again, buddy. All right. Really appreciate it.
There you go.
All right, take care.
You're awesome. Yep. Peace. There she goes, our good friend Lisa. She's great. Very, very talented cook. Unfortunately, has some bad stuff come her way, but she's working through it. Got some new knives coming. Got robbed of her fucking knife. Who robs somebody of their fucking knives? Fuck that guy. Seriously. Like, I don't know. Like, you're going to make me go back to my whole battle axe story. What the fuck? We don't want to do all shit. God damn. All right, ladies and gentlemen. What a great conversation with our friend Megan Harlow tonight from Edible Magazine. She's a digital editor from East End and Long Island. Great conversation about local food. Great conversation about local farms. Love that. Could have gone on for two more hours, that's for sure. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you check me out on social media at chef_plum. And of course, hey, check it out. Those of you who don't know yet, who want to be a part of it, Station Head, a brand new app. We are kicking ass. Our good friend Chef Scatores, my man Kevin Levine is on there. I am on there. It's not public yet, but if you'd like for it to be, shoot me a message on social media, man. I can get you an invite code. Come check out what we're doing on there. It is unbelievable. It's so much fun. What a great outlet for chefs. We're going to build a whole chef community on this app. You basically make your own radio station to listen to whatever you want while you're working. And at any moment you want to go live and press the on button, you go live and start talking and tell people anything you want and interact with everybody else. You have a question, you can go live on Station Head and talk. You want to talk about a dish, go live on Station Head and talk. You want to promote your service, promote anything else, go live immediately. Send me a message and let me know. Find me on social media. I'll give you an invite code. You can come right on. We're not live yet, but when we will be soon, you will be able to be in the know from the beginning to know what Station Head's all about. So make sure you check it out. We did a whole pre-show tonight, before this show tonight, talking all about food trends for 2017. So send me a message. You want to be a part of Station Head? It's really easy. It doesn't cost a thing. Jump on board and see what's going on. Because trust me, ladies and gentlemen, in the next few months, this show is moving to Station Head. So you might as well jump on board now and get ready for it. That's for sure. Hey, check it out next week. Very, very excited. We got our friends from Chef Spoons going to be on here. We're going to talk all about what the fuck they do and where the spoons came from. Looking forward to talking to these guys. They have fantastic friends who promote them and think they're awesome. So let's bring them on. Let's talk to them. But in the meantime, and in between time, ladies and gentlemen, please remember food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. Big thanks to Megan Harlow from Edible Magazine, and we'll see you next week. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.